this only gets that kind of person. It doesn't commit, it doesn't get somebody who violates a registration provision, a more technical type of violation, because that is still 3 years from the sale. There's no change in that. Now, these other changes I've described in my testimony today, and I would like to touch on a few of the ones that I think are important. We had a case where a bank was used by a person who, well, I'll call him a crook for today's purposes, and he ran the transactions through a bank. And then they claim later that because these were IRA-type accounts, where the bank was simply a custodian and did not look at the transaction. And then they claim later, well, this is a sale to a bank, therefore it's exempt from registration requirements. And the change in one of these exemptions is to solve that problem. And that's ORS 59.0354. The other change that I believe is very important is the change in what's called the 12A exemption. And this is the change that Commissioner Edwards was talking about, where a sale to 10 or fewer people can be exempt from registration so long as there's no commission or other remuneration paid in connection with the sale. And there was language in the bill previously that indicated that if a person was on the payroll for doing things other than selling securities, then that would not defeat that exemption. And our concern, as I indicated in my letter to the committee, was that a crook would take that and just, you know, draft right around that and have a person come in and say, well, I'm really on the payroll to manage the business or to do this and that, when really the only thing they were doing was selling securities. We've had a number of cases where that's come up, where the person has his relatives on the payroll selling securities and appoints them, you know, vice president and manager of this and that, and says, well, they're not really here to sell securities, they're here to manage the business. And so by deleting this section capital D in 12A, we hope to make it so that people won't take that and just try to draft around it. And really, that's all I have to say, because I think the process has worked very well, because there's been input from both sides on this bill, and we've tried to work out compromises that attorneys who handle the fraud cases are comfortable with, and the attorneys who handle registration are comfortable with, and the commissioner's office, I believe, is comfortable with the changes that have been submitted today. And one point I would like to emphasize is that a sale to 10 people, and under the current provisions of the version that was submitted today, that sale would not have to be registered in many instances. It is a sale to a lot of people. It's usually more than, you know, selling to some relatives and some business associates. By the time you're selling to 10 people, you're out there soliciting and making a more public type offering. And that type of sale, if it's to more than 10, it should certainly have the attention of the commissioner's office, and that there shouldn't be any change that increases that figure of 10. Thank you.
Any questions? Okay, thank you very much. Anyone else that wishes to testify on this bill? Come forward, please. Okay. Please identify yourselves for our record.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is David Grove. I'm president of Summers Grove & Company, an Oregon securities firm. We have 60 employees with offices in Portland, Beaverton, Astoria, Newport, and Corvallis, and Vancouver, Washington. I'm currently a member of the Board of Governors of the National Association of Security Dealers, representing District 1, which encompasses Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Montana, and Alaska. Presently, I'm the 1985 president of the Oregon Security Dealers Association. On their behalf, we respectfully request that the committee recommend exemption from registration under the Blue Sky Laws, those securities trading on the NASDAQ National Market System. This exemption is presently granted to securities listed on various exchanges. the New York, American, Pacific, Midwest. What we're asking is that the NASDAQ NMS securities be treated equally with exchange securities. I have prepared for you a short list of what I think addresses the question of what is NMS. And you have to go back to 1975, and that is the time that Congress mandated that there be a national market system. The present form, then, of the NMS has been under development by the NASD for 2 years, and this has been done in coordination with the Securities and Exchange Commission. The first 40 securities were mandated for trading in April 1982, 3 years ago. The criteria at that time included a minimum price of $10 for 5 business days and an average trading volume of 600,000 shares for 6 months. Since that time, we have reached the goal of 1,700 securities that are presently qualified for trading on the NASDAQ NMS. This list is expected to top out at the end of this year at about 2,500 securities. It's important to understand that the NASDAQ NMS listing criteria is part of an SEC rule. It cannot be fooled with or changed by anybody or any organization in the securities industry.
Mr. Grove, would you please repeat that and then explain it just a little bit more, because I think this is very crucial.
NASDAQ's criteria for listing on the national market system has been established by a rule of the Securities and Exchange Commission. The NASD, the National Association of Security Dealers, could not change that without approval of the SEC. The reason I make that point is that this market system criteria are very real and not something that can be changed with someone's whim. A recent development has been the endorsement of the national market system by the Federal Reserve Board by making all securities on the NMS available for margin, as are securities that are listed. Finally, let me say that the NASDAQ National Market System is the fastest growing securities market in the world. And recently, the London Stock Exchange sent representatives here and are studying this system and developing theirs after it. We sincerely hope that you will adopt the proposed amendments that we recommend to make this exemption. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I'd be happy to answer any of your questions.
Mr. DeGroff, have you run this amendment by the commissioner's office?
Yes, we have.
And what is their response?
I believe their response is that they would, Mr. Chairman, Representative Sides, their response is that they would like to make it a rule, and we believe that the issue is such that it should be a statutory amendment. It should be not be a rule. We believe that these securities that we're talking about, there are presently 9 securities. We're talking about companies like Braintree, U.S. Bancorp, Nike, Northwest Natural Gas. And we believe they deserve to be treated equally with securities that are listed. 600 of the 1,700 securities on NASDAQ could qualify for listing on the New York Stock Exchange. Most of them qualify for listing on the American Exchange. Does that answer your question?
Well, see, I'm entirely out of my world here, so I don't understand why they would want to make it a rule, why you want to make it part of the, what's the difference, I guess. And maybe we could ask the commissioner, since she's sitting there behind him, to react to what they've said. I don't have any problem.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Sides.
Identify yourself.
Please. Yes, I'm Jane Edwards, the Corporation Commissioner. In the bill we proposed, we actually opened the door, if you will, and to allow us to exempt them if they would meet criteria based on the role of the commissioner. We don't have any problem with the criteria now that we've established by the Securities Exchange Commission. It's a kind of a leave the door open for ourselves if a problem developed down the way. We can deal with it through the rulemaking process. If it's a statutory change, of course, it's fixed and can only be changed by the legislature. I do not disagree with anything that Mr. Grove said. We don't question. Would not appear that any less than desirable company would come in and use an exemption under what they're proposing. It was our thought that we suggested a rule and they proposed a statute, and we'd really turn it back to the legislature.
Any other questions? Okay, I've got a question. The SEC provides considerable security, I think, that's not the right term to use, insurance, to people that deal with securities or purchase securities that are listed. Does the SEC actually supervise the NASDAQ or NMS, whatever you call it?
Mr. Chairman, that's true. The SEC is the overruling body that supervises the National Association of Security Dealers. The NASD is a self-regulatory organization with the SEC over it. Every rulemaking or proposal that the NASD may have is passed by the SEC for approval. Does that answer your question?
Well, sort of. I'm kind of like Representative Sides. I can't be too specific in my question because I don't have enough knowledge. But on the other hand, I guess that any stock that's listed on the exchange, I think that we could feel on an exchange that's supervised by the SEC, we could feel fairly confident was not an issue that would be a fly-by-night issue and probably not too much chance of securities fraud with regard to its issues. And on the other hand, I'm not sure that the same would be true of the National Market System stocks if there weren't some other supervisory, equivalent supervisory authority that was applying the same rules to those securities as are applied to exchange securities, even in accounting, for example.
I believe Kurt Olson would like to address that question.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Kurt Olson. I'm a securities dealer in Portland. I've been a securities dealer in Oregon for, well, since 1949, however long that is. In that connection, most of that time, I have been an allied member of the New York Exchange, the other exchanges. In all that time, I've been involved with the NASD. As a member, of course, and as I've been elected and appointed to many offices in the NASD, I think I'm familiar with these various rules. Commissioner Edwards did an excellent job a minute ago of giving you the background of Oregon securities regulation, and I think it may be helpful to the committee to have a similar background of federal securities regulation because the two fit together and bring us where we are today. The basis for securities regulation nationally are the Securities and Exchange Acts of 1933 and 34, which were really excellent pieces of legislation as evidenced by the fact that they have lasted this long without really serious amendment. Remember the years 1933 and 1934, and you'll understand that simultaneously with passing that that legislation, Congress was unable to fund the police organization that was to carry out those rules, the Securities and Exchange Commission. As a result, they used the institutions that were in place, and the Securities and Exchange Commission was brought into existence, but they used the New York and American Stock Exchanges essentially as their regulatory agencies because they existed and they had the funding and the police force. So they did the regulating subject to the oversight of the Securities and Exchange Commission. However, that left a big gap in the securities business that wasn't being regulated by an organization in place, and as a result, the first amendment that was passed to those acts was in 1938 when the Maloney Act created the National Association of Securities Dealers to be an organization similar to the stock exchanges and to regulate the portion of the securities business that was outside the exchanges in a manner similar to that which the exchanges were regulating. Now, the Maloney Act actually created the NASD. It created an interesting organization where a policing organization like the American Bar Association, in some ways American Medical Association, but we have congressional authority to carry out our job. The next set of amendments didn't occur until 1975. In 1975, the Securities Acts amendments, in effect, as Mr. Grove has just testified, mandated the creation of a national market system. That's what you see referred to as NMS in Mr. Grove's testimony and in these various amendments. The national market system was a departure in one way from the existing markets because it brought the securities transactions into a recognition of modern communications. I'm not going to go into detail on the differences, but just for the record, the exchanges function on what we call an auction/specialist system. NASDAQ functions on an instant electronic communication national network. It's modern stuff. It's very efficient, and the exchanges are following its lead. The national market system was mandated to come into existence in 1975. It was a major nationwide task, and it became effective on June 1st, 1982. By the end of 1983, 600 issues were designated for trading. It was a selective process, identical to the selective process by which securities are designated for trading on exchanges. It worked. Believe me, it worked well. It's an efficient market system. And its liquidity, which is an important part of an efficient market, was recognized by the Federal Reserve Board on November 13, 1984, when they amended Regulation T, granting NMS designated securities all the margin eligibility of listed securities. There is no difference. Currently, there are 1,600 issues traded on that market, as Mr. Grove has testified. It's estimated there will be 2,500 by the end of this year. Two states that I'm aware of have already adopted regulations. Mr. Grove says 10. At any rate, 2 or 10 states have already adopted regulations, legislation, I suppose, that recognizes NMS securities as automatically exempt in their states. But whatever the number, it's my opinion that the direction is clear. The trend is set.
Excuse me, I have to go to a 3:30 meeting. I'm sorry I can't stay for the whole answer.
I think I'm done.
Thank you.
Any questions? Thank you, sir. Mr. Robert Golan? Alan Fulcher.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I have provided you earlier with some written testimony. I'm going to make this very brief, and you can read my testimony if you want to. I really want to talk about, in my testimony, I talk about three matters. I think that I'd like to cut this down and talk about one matter and let us conclude this a little earlier than we would otherwise do so. I'd like to talk about the transactional exemption which HB 2224 proposes, which is the section ORS 59.03512 exemption proposed. Let me preface this by saying that generally I strongly support this bill, and I strongly support the creation of this transactional exemption in the cleaning up of the exemption provisions, which I think have, as Mr. Byrne pointed out earlier, often been a trap for the unwary and have been subject to rather unusual and strange judicial interpretations of their terms. As far as the 59.03512 exemption, I would like to raise one issue and have you consider it making a change, and that is that the exemption as the proposed exemption as it is currently worded would prohibit the payment of any commission or other remuneration. Mr. Byrne has earlier testified that in his mind, this is an area that is ripe for being taken advantage of by unscrupulous crooks, as he put it. And to a degree, I agree with Mr. Byrne. However, I believe that a modification should be made which would allow the payment of commissions or other remuneration to persons who are already licensed under the Oregon, or registered under the Oregon Securities Law as broker-dealers or salespersons. And I believe that those persons are already under the a degree of regulation by the Corporation Commissioner's Office such that the types of concerns which Mr. Byrne earlier expressed can be controlled by the commissioner in an adequate manner. In addition to that, I'd like to mention briefly that in my opinion, the exemption should be allowed to more than 10 purchasers. I would like to see it opened up to as many as 35 purchasers to put it more in line with Regulation D, which is a federal exemptive procedure very similar to this. And I think that if you look to experience of the state of California with their transactional exemption, which is similar to this proposal, Section 25102F of the California Corporate Securities Code, that you will find that the abuses have not come to the level that others have expressed concern about. With that, I'd like to conclude my testimony, and I thank you very much.
Questions?
We have now Margaret Hill. Max?
I'm Margaret Noto, and I was a member of the Securities Task Force that Commissioner Edwards set up. I'm a partner in the Portland Law Firm of Storrs, Boley, Frazier, and Wise. I've been in practice for about 7 years, and I've spent a lot of my time representing individuals and small businesses. I, too, will make my testimony very short. I support the bill, and I think that its primary purpose is to permit legitimate small businesses to raise money without burdensome and unnecessary state regulation, while at the same time to enable the Corporation Commissioner's staff to focus more time and resources on enforcement actions against promoters of fraudulent schemes. As Commissioner Edwards has mentioned, and given her as well, the disclosure requirements of Oregon securities laws are really an important part of the statute, and I think are really the heart of the securities laws. Oregon law imposes on every person selling securities in the state the obligation to provide full and fair disclosure of all material information that an investor would need to make an investment decision. I think it's really important to emphasize that this bill does not in any way change or alter that requirement. And what we're talking about here, what we've been talking about, are mainly exemptions from the registration procedure and not any exemptions from the full and fair disclosure requirements. As I said, I think that the main thing the bill does is to make it easier for small businesses to raise money when they're selling stock or other securities to a few people or when they've just formed. There are very technical requirements in our existing exemptions. Oregon law has always had exemptions from the registration procedures for the issuance of stock and other securities to a small number of people. But the requirements are so technical that it is almost impossible for somebody who is just forming a corporation without the assistance of an experienced business lawyer to comply with those requirements. The chances are that the notice wouldn't be filed, that some of the other technical requirements would not be complied with. And what this bill does is it really removes those inadvertent violations so that those corporations and other businesses are not facing potential liabilities for what are really very innocent mistakes and for which there should not be any liability. The other area that I think the bill goes a long ways is in expanding the class of people to whom securities can be sold without registration. Traditionally, banks and other financial institutions don't have the protection of the registration requirements. This bill would expand that category to include accredited investors, as that's defined in federal law. That basically means somebody who's got $1 million or $200,000 in annual income, or who invests $150,000. What this really will do is it will free up the Corporation Commissioner's staff from reviewing a lot of filings by venture capital firms who are investing in some of the small businesses here in Oregon, and it will give them more time and resources to focus on really the fraudulent area, which is where their attention should be.
Questions? Mark, could you give us an independent view as to whether you feel that NASDAQ MEMS securities should be exempt?
Well, the task force had recommended to the Corporation Commissioner's Office that that requirement actually be in the statute, and that in addition she have the authority to create other types of securities that would be exempt. And so my own view is that, yes, I think that all of those companies file reports with the Securities and Exchange Commission. There's plenty of public information about them, and that it's appropriate.
To exempt them,
yeah. In statute? I would do it by statute. But, you know, I think whether it's by statute or rule, I don't feel strongly about that. Thank you.
Yeah, we need to take a short break, 5-minute break.